black thing go from left to right, and I thought, I'm going to die out here. No one's ever going to know.
And I couldn't believe what my eyeballs were showing me. I'll never forget how evil the eyes were. But it was horrible. I mean, I've never seen nothing that evil.
It ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. Turned and stared at me. And this look of, I just want to kill you. I want to say it was human, but it wasn't.
He was yelling at me to grab a gun, grab a gun. I was like, for what? He said, just grab a gun. And there's footprints all the way to the door of my house. It had went inside my garage all the way to the door.
911, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see
ya. Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Check us out online at sasquatchchronicles.com. If you've had an encounter, email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you tonight. Going to be speaking to Kevin, which isn't his real name. I actually changed his name. But he had a very terrifying encounter out at this property his mother owned. And she would talk for years about seeing wild men, and no one really knew what she was talking about. And it wasn't until Kevin went back to that property after she passed away, he realized what she was talking about. Very, very fascinating encounter. If you've had an encounter, then you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, please check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. If you're listening to this on iTunes or Stitcher and you want to become a member, help support the show, check out sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member. I post a daily blog. There's a forum. Great people on there. If you get a chance, check it out. Thank you so much for listening. I know I'm posting the show a little bit early. I'll be back on Sunday for the members. I have a dogman encounter and a couple other very strange encounters. So I hope you guys can join me on Sunday. I also want to remind everyone of the International Bigfoot Conference coming up September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. It's in Kennewick, Washington. If you get a chance, go to the internationalbigfootconference.com. Get your tickets. Woody and I will be out there. We'll be hanging out. And I really hope to see you guys there. If you do end up going, swing by the booth, say hi. We'll definitely be there. But tonight, let's jump into it. I want to welcome Kevin to the show. Kevin, thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you being here. And I know when you sent me the email, it was a very, very fascinating encounter to read. And I can't wait to hear it tonight. If you would you kind of start from the beginning and tell us a little bit about the property? How did all of this start? And then walk us into what you saw, what you experienced.
All right. This took place over a period of 10 years from 95 to 2005. My mother had lived on a piece of property that was about 140 acres. And it was just out in the middle of nowhere. There were two houses out there. One had belonged to my grandmother. And at that point, she was in a nursing home. I think she was in the home around 89 or 90. And my mother passed away in 95. She had had a lot of alcohol and drug problems over the years and had lived up there by herself a long time. I never saw her very much growing up. She was very much the black sheep of the family. That side of the family, mother's side there, they picked on her and ridiculed her a lot and teased her. And she just eventually stopped coming to family functions altogether. And I never really understood her. But finally, when she passed, I had been living with my father all my life. And I think he did the best he could with what he had. But he was a very aggressive man. Putting it mildly, you talk about folks that have a a short fuse. This man had no fuse. He could explode in a rage in an instant over, you know, simple things. So I was a teenager at the time, and mother passed, and the house was just sitting there. Nobody else wanted it. And I had just fixed up. I had a Jeep, 84 Jeep at the time, and I jumped on it. I moved up there, and just to give you a little demographic of the place, upstate South Carolina. It is very close to Bald Rock, Table Rock, Caesar's Head, Glassy Mountain. It's all in there. And for the locals, I'll throw out a couple places like Pumpkin Town, River Falls. So y'all get a decent idea as to where this is. But anyway, my mother's side of the family and I do not get along. So I'll try to keep things where I have to. But
no, I understand.
What it all comes down to is I moved up there in 95. And for the first 3 years, nothing went on that I could discern was any big deal. There was, you know, howling and screams in the night, things of this nature, but it's way out in the woods. I knew there were coyotes and all manner of things up there. You know, some of it I attributed, I thought, well, maybe mountain lions. You know, I know that they're supposedly extinct around here, but yeah, who knows? You know, and I knew there were bear and just everything's up here. Those first 3 years, like I say, you know, nothing that I could really think of. There were places around the property that I would hike and I felt perfectly comfortable, and there were places I just did not go. And the only thing I can explain about that is just a gut feeling. You just don't go there. So there was a spot that I liked to go hunting. It was roughly 2 miles from the house. And at this time, those back roads and everything, there was no traffic. If you passed another car, that you just didn't see another car. And the road that this property's on at that time, you might see one car once every 3 to 5 hours during the day. At night, nothing ever at that time. And this is important for later, because I realize now, looking back, that it wasn't just an out of the blue thing. It was an escalation. So we'll jump right into it, as you like to say. And y'all just bear with me. You know, it's been,
yeah, take your time.
20 years, and I've never said anything about it. So I was hunting this spot. I always liked it out there, good visibility and whatnot. But that night, October 10th, 1998, and it was overcast. The moon was out, but it was overcast. It was dark right there. I had negative visibility. Negative visibility means no target, you know, and I always make sure I'm not just going to blindly shoot something I see. So, you know, it was getting late. It was probably a little after 10 o'clock and starting to get chilly. And I had been out with friends all day long on Lake Kiwi Toxaway. Beautiful out there. I'd been out all day with friends, having a good time and all that. And so I was going to head on to the house. And so I'm driving down the road, and where this is, it's in a valley between two mountains. So I'm coming up over this hill, this ridge, and coming down the hill. And to my left is a ridge that leads up to an old property that had been abandoned a long time ago at that point. And it was 14, 16 feet high. And then on the right side of the road, it just goes down into a valley. Valley goes down probably several hundred feet and then back up the ridge on the other side going towards the top of the mountain. Obviously, I'd been on this road a thousand times. Didn't think nothing about it. I'm just cruising along. And about 100 feet or less up ahead of me, I see movement on that ridge. So I start slowing down. And if anybody out there has a Jeep, you know that the brakes are crap. But, you know, I mean, I start slowing down.
Is that a Wrangler by chance?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I know. I own
84
one.
Wrangler. And, yeah. And the headlights are crap, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm slowing down and kind of cursing myself anyway because I had left the doors and rag roof off. It was getting pretty chilly up there. But anyway, I'm slowing down. I see this movement. I'm slowing down, and it was a deer. Jumped off the ridge, landed pretty much on the yellow lines in the middle of the road, and took off and went down the valley. And when I say she was running, to this day, I've never seen a deer run that fast. You imagine them running from a forest fire or something. I mean, she was getting it. And that it spooked me, but it's a mature doe. So in my mind, I'm looking for a fawn. I'm waiting. So I'm, you know, I got my foot on the clutch and I'm braking and I'm slowing it down. And I see this black shadow, huge, moving like a freight train, like in Terminator 2, when John Connor is trying to get away from that T-1000 and he's in that truck and he comes off that bridge in that truck. It was kind of like that. This thing is just straight on like a freight train, and it launched off that ridge. And that thing, man, it was just huge and all black. And when it crossed, it was roughly 40 feet in front of me at that point. And I seen him, and I could see the muscle. The hair was 3 to 4 inches long. Head was forward. Feet were forward. Shoulders were hunched. The hackles on the back of his neck and everything were up, like a dog that's pissed off. His arms were back. Hands were up. I could see the fingers. His face was flat. Head was kind of conical. But he had bushy like hair on top of his head, almost looked like he had a 80s rock star mohawk or something. His musculature was very well defined. Arnold Schwarzenegger in 75, you know, and he I shut down. I mean, I turned to clay. I don't know how to describe it. This thing, when he hit the ground, he cleared the road, by the way, like no issue. He landed right on the other side of the asphalt. And when he did, I felt it in my bones. I heard it and I felt it. It shook me. And without any interruption in its movements at all, the left arm went forward, knuckles to the ground, the right arm followed. And when the right arm followed, I could see the muscle in the shoulder, tricep, bicep, and the forearm as the knuckles dug in, and boom, he was down that valley chasing that deer. He was moving at least as fast as her. And my eyes were trained on him, and I'm watching the road, and you know, at the same time, I'm trying not to vomit. I mean, this thing. So I'm looking, and he had a V-shaped torso, both from the side and from the back. The shoulders were massive. He was probably about 3.5 feet wide, and he went down that valley and chased after her, and I could barely see her. All I could see was where the moonlight was hitting the back of her neck, shoulders, and her back. And she was going up to the ridge line up there right where the forest gets really thick. And when she got up to that tree line up there, I saw the white tail. And I see that white tail, and I'm looking at the road, and I'm coming up on this curve, and I look back, and she's darting left to right, but not going straight. And there's no conscious thought going on in my head, but instinctively, I'm like, what are you doing? Get your ass in there, because you're about to die. You know, the trees, that's the only cover you've got. Go. And that's when I could see, Wes, in the trees, there was another one. I could see the outline of it, and this one was bigger than the one that was chasing her. It was standing there on 2 feet. I seen it, and I could see its right arm was a little bit away from the body. The hand was close to its knee. Very long arms. And the way that the arm was moving, it gave me the impression that it was swaying. And about that time, I'm in the curve, and I couldn't see anymore. And I was like, I was beyond petrified. I got that Jeep up into that driveway without rolling it somehow, and I don't even remember going into the house. I went straight to the bedroom, closed and locked the door, laid straight on my bed, just needed to lay down. And I was on top of the covers. I had my clothes, my boots still on, and my rifle right next to me. And I just laid there with my eyes wide open, trying to ascertain what that was. And the only thing that registered in my mind was a giant chimpanzee. That's what it looked like. It had to be at least 500 pounds. It looked just like, more or less, like a chimp. And it was, this thing was huge, man.
Yeah, it's interesting how you mention what it was doing and the other one waiting. Because I've heard so many people say that who have these things on their property, what they'll say is one will give chase while another one sits and waits to ambush. And it kind of sounds like that's what was going on here. And I've heard that time and time again, especially people who have these things on their property. That's what they'll say. That's how they hunt. One will chase and one will sit and wait to ambush. That's fascinating. And this is the first time you've ever seen this. What was going through your mind? I mean, beyond just a giant chimpanzee, obviously you're trying to make sense of it, but.
My mind was trying to pair this thing up with something that is known, something that would be in that area. I was trying to think, okay, it was a big black bull that ran off this. No, that don't make sense, because what I saw looked like a chimpanzee. It was bigger than a gorilla. You know, in my mind it was just tearing itself apart. You know, I kept trying to convince myself that it was a bear. Bear don't do that. They don't move like that. They don't look like that. I think I tried to block it out of my mind. The next thing I know, it's like 3 a.m., and then I could hear the screams and the howls and whoops in between. And they were at different locations, but they were up on that mountain behind the house. And it went on for a little over an hour. It stopped at about, I'd say, 20 after 4, I think, was the last little whoop that I heard up there. And, of course, I had heard those sounds before on the other mountain, on the other side of the other mountain, in different locations all the way around there. I had heard that, but I didn't know what it was at that time. 3 years, you know. And I think in this instance, I just happened to be at the right place, right time, or the way I saw it, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
If I had been delayed 2 minutes or, you know, whatever, I would have never saw it and would have just continued without the knowledge of these things. And that I want to point out too, at that time, I didn't know what it was. I had no knowledge of Bigfoot or Sasquatch, whatever people referred to them. I had no prior knowledge of these things. Now my mother had said many times that she would occasionally talk about wild men on the property. Now, to give a little bit of background so that folks understand, My father was half Cherokee, and with that volatile temper, he was often called, and his nickname was Wild Man, because he had the long hair, and he, like I said, I mean, at the drop of a hat, he would be screaming at you like Phil Anselmo from Pantera. So that was what people called him. And I don't know if it was in a mocking fashion, because he was Native American or whatever, but, you know, just,
Do you think she was talking about your dad, or do you think she was actually talking about what we know as the Wild Man?
When I was a kid, I thought she was talking about him and or his people. But now I know what she was talking about. She was talking about these creatures.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Sure.
And I hope I don't get too personal with the questions. If I do, just say none of your business. I got thick skin. Your mother, you mentioned that she had been teased by the rest of the family, and she was kind of the black sheep. And sure. I understand, obviously, alcohol and everything else plays into that. But do you think it was just the alcohol and the drug issues, or do you think she had been seeing these things and maybe had spoke up and then all of a sudden became the joke of the family?
That's precisely what happened, because she did talk about them. She said she would see them on the property all the time. I do not know for sure, but looking back and after the years of experiencing and dealing with this, she was very much I don't want to say a hippie, but she was a child of '60s. And, I think she may have been feeding them at one time. And I think that came back to bite her almost literally. I know somewhere around the mid '80s, she had the front door replaced. The house was a ranch style, but it was set up like a log cabin. That front door that was originally on it, I was told, was destroyed when, you know, what people were saying, you know, my family was saying it had to have been a bear had tried to get in one night at, you know, in the early morning hours. And she apparently, and she did suffer partial hearing loss because she fired a rifle. It was, you know, the only protection she had. She fired a rifle, and whatever it was took off, didn't come back. She had that door replaced with a metal one that had two deadbolts on it.
That's kind of telling, isn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, I never thought anything about it. I kind of forgot about it. I mean, I knew obviously the door. I just, hey, that's nice. I didn't think much about it. The back door. Now, when I first got to the house, it was a mess. If anybody out there, I'm sure they know when they have a relative or somebody they care about that has alcohol problems and whatnot, they tend to leave things in disarray. The house was very much a mess when I first got there, and it took me quite some time to clean it up and kind of, you know, repaint the walls, make it my own. But I do remember the back door. It was the original back door, but it was blocked. There was large furniture items and whatnot blocking it. I didn't understand why at the time, but I think she learned the hard way that these things, they're not. Some folks think they can go up in the woods, build a little campfire or whatever, and open up a bag of beef jerky, and one of these things will come lumbering down and sit with you and sing Kumbaya. It don't work that way. That's not how it is. These things are predators. They live in the natural world, and they operate under natural world laws. And, you know, I think they see us as another predator similar to themselves. I don't think they know what guns are, but they know what guns do. It's a boomstick. Whatever we point it at, you hear thunder. And whatever's pointed at, it dies. So they know what that is. They know to stay away from it. These things are not stupid. People often mistake orangutans and chimps and gorillas for being stupid animals. and nothing could be further from the truth. They've been portrayed as stupid. They've been used in circuses and carnivals and whatnot. And I think that eventually that's kind of what I attributed this. I was like, that must be what it was. It must have escaped from some carnival or maybe been released or I don't know. But whatever that was, when I seen that thing in midair, that was something from 100,000 years ago. You know what I mean? That's,
yeah,
it looked like some kind of prehistoric hominid kind of a, it leaves you sitting there. What was that?
Yeah, it does. It's funny you say that because it you know, when you see a move, you're right. It, people often ask me what I, you know, how, what is it like to see the move like what you saw? And it almost looks fake. It, I mean, if you weren't sitting there watching it, like if someone replayed a video for you, you'd be like, oh, that's CGI because nothing that big can move
that fast.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And it looks fake. And so I think in your, and I don't know if that's the best way to describe it, but I think in our brains, it's like, well, that can't be real. And so your brain kind of goes through a reset mode of, you know, God, what did I see? You know, you're trying to place it to something, you know, like a chimpanzee. That's the only thing that makes sense, right? It must just be some overgrown, monstrous medical experiment chimpanzee.
Right.
But even chimpanzees don't move like these things move. These things are
exactly
levels above any monkey I've ever seen move.
I'll tell you this, from what I saw just in that 2 seconds that this thing was off that cliff, you know, the ridge there, airborne, and then boom, you know, and it was gone. But the way it moved, it was almost like the lower half of the body operated independent from the upper half.
Yeah, it's exactly both, like that.
It made me nauseous.
But they worked together in the same breath. I mean, they're yeah,
in perfect cohesion.
Yeah,
it was perfect fluid movement. It really is mind blowing. From that, it was, you know, after that, it was pretty quiet around there. But there were a lot of, I don't know why, but people, I guess, would drop off stray animals in the area. I guess they just figured somebody would adopt them or whatever. Maybe not realizing that I was the only one up there. But there were a lot of stray dogs from time to time and cats that would just show up. I mean, I would be coming out of the house. I'm getting ready to go to my job. And there's some dog come running up like, well, hey, you know, how are you this morning? you know, and I'd go in the house and try to, you know, get some lunch meat or something, you know, for them to eat and give them some water. And I'd tell them, hey, you know, I got to go to work, but I'll check you out when I get home and, you know, see what I can do for you. And a lot of times I would come home from work and they're gone. I never knew exactly what happened. And looking back, I don't want to know. You know, I always thought, well, maybe somebody drove by and saw them and picked them up. You know, and in some cases, hopefully, that's what happened. But no. Over the years, the traffic in the area picked up. And it's a progression. And that, I think, is important later. Because the incident in 2005 that I mentioned, it's on the blog with the work crew, that was probably the catalyst, but it wasn't the final straw, as I had put it. What finally did it for me was scarier than what that first encounter was. And there was another one before that in 2002. I had come home from work. I worked a double shift. I was very tired. I came home from work at around 3 a.m. And up in the pasture area right before the big tree line, it was a good 5 acres up from the house. I seen what looked like a tree stump or something just sitting in the middle of the pasture next to this, you know, big tree that was out there. And it was in the pretty much same direction where I like to shoot my rifle as often as I could to make sure they knew I was there and I meant business if they came messing around. Anyway, I seen up there and I don't know, man, I was tired, but I was like, you know, in my mind, I was like, what the hell is that? So I just kind of rolled the truck on up there, and I get, I don't know, about 60 feet up on it, and that ain't no tree stump. And I could see the eye shine. It was red. And I could see, I just kept rolling forward. I mean, I wasn't like speeding up on it or anything, but I just kept, I was just rolling up on it, and I got about 40 feet, I guess, and I stopped, and I was just looking. And this thing, it was one of them. I don't think it's the one that I had seen jumping. That thing was a little bit bigger than this. But this one was just sitting there, and he just had this look of contempt on his face, like he was going to say, really? I mean, the expression, I mean, his face was like leather. It's gray. He had a hooded nose. It was flat like a aboriginal. Brow ridge. His eyes were kind of sunk in, but they were big. Kind of, they looked black to me. But every time, because his eyes were sort of darting back and forth like he was trying to decide what to do. And every time his eyes would move more towards the truck, it would, you know, I'd see that red eye shine, and then it would go black again because he's looking away, you know. And his musculature was like friggin' Lou Ferrigno or something. I mean, he just, the proportions, his shoulders and everything, he was enormous, and he was just, he was huddled there. He was in a squatting position. But what really was bugging me, he had blood around his face, like around his lips.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And it was wet. And I thought he might be hurt or something. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I just got off a double shift. And I'm like instinctively reaching around to the, because I had the bench seat in my truck, and I was reaching around for my rifle. I head back there because I don't know what this thing is going to do. And I'm sitting here thinking, why did I roll up in this pasture? You know what I mean? Why did I just have to check this out? And he had this look of just pure contempt on his face. Like he was getting pissed. Like he didn't know what to do, but he was getting pissed. And his brow ridge started going down in the middle. And he was getting this kind of real mean look, and his lips pulled back, and I could see his teeth, and they looked yellow because of the blood. And he had, it looked like a chimp's teeth. I thought he was about to charge me. And I was, that's when I was, you know, that's one of those moments where you hope you have another pair of underwear. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah. I mean, cause, and then all at once, he just closed his lips back, and he stood up, which really made my stomach turn upside down when he stood up. I'd say he's about 6'8", maybe 6'10". The hair was black. Skin was gray. I could see his skin very clearly. Looked like leather. 3 to 4 inch hair all over. The hair was longer on the back of his arms. And his arms were really long, and he just turned around and walked away. Well, when he did that, in his left hand, I could see some kind of animal, a dead animal, and I could see the skin hanging off. It was still wet, and it was kind of dangling back and forth, you know. I don't know what he was eating. I don't want to know. I want to say it might have been a fox or something, but it seemed too big to be a fox, because in a hand that big, I mean, you're talking about a basketball in Shaq's hand.
Yeah. One question I want to ask you real quick before you go on. You mentioned chimp's teeth. Are you talking about like the canines? Is that what you mean when you say? Oh, I got you.
The other teeth look about normal. They look almost like human's teeth. But they were just nasty looking because of the blood. Apparently, I caught him in dinner. But I was too tired. It freaked me out. I was like, you know, wrong place, wrong time. You know, and I literally, I just remember popping it. I grabbed the column shifter and I popped it back up in reverse and I just backed on out of there. He just got up and walked away. I put it in reverse and I just backed out without even looking. I didn't turn around. I kept my eyes forward. Was probably just the weirdest. I was too tired to care. But it just freaked me out. I felt like I was at the zoo.
Yeah, I bet. And it's so close to your house too. I mean, got it. Yeah, you know.
It was five right there where he was, probably a good 5 acres from the house. And it bothered me. And in 2003, I had ordered a package, and I can't remember what it was. Probably something out of guns and ammo or whatever. But anyway, I'd ordered a package. It was supposed to arrive UPS. It never did. I think it was supposed to be there on a Friday. And I think that because I ended up going to the UPS store on a Tuesday because it just never showed up. So I get there and there's two, you know, really nice older ladies in there. I give them my name and address and they look it up and say, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." And they say, "So you're the guy," you know, I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm the guy. Can I have my package?" they say, no, our driver said that a dog at your property charged him and about scared that boy to death. I don't think he's ever going to come back to work. And I said, "Really?" And I was tired and I wanted my package and it wasn't on my mind. They said, "Yeah, he said that there was a dog, a very big black dog in the carport area of that lake house. And, that it was growling at him and it charged him and he couldn't get back to his truck fast enough and he was gone." And they said that he came straight back to the store. He didn't finish his deliveries. He threw the box into their little storage area. He said he'll never deliver out there again. He was cussing. He was upset. He was, you know, pale faced and just really, and he went home. So before they gave me my package, they had been debating back and forth as to what the dog was. One of them thought it was a Great Dane. The other one thought it was a English Mastiff based on his description. And, you know, just imagine their faces when I was like, "Ladies, I hate to break it to you. I don't have a dog." And they just couldn't believe that. So
makes you wonder what he ran into.
Right. It did not click in my mind because, again, each thing that happened, there was at least 9 months to a year worth of space for the most part between. So by the time, you know, time passes and it's not on your mind. And it didn't click with me until I was driving home. And then I thought to myself, you know, I saw that thing last year pretty close to the house. Never seen one that close before. And now this guy is freaked out by some, quote, dog that was apparently in my carport. And that bothered me. But I never saw anything. I never saw any signs of it. Nothing. All right. So... All right, wrapping it up, we'll go to 2005, the issue with the work crew, and then what finally drove me out of there. All right, the work crew, I don't remember when exactly it was. I think it was in probably May. Something, I don't know. I can't remember. But I'm sitting there. I had a George Foreman grill, and I'm grilling some burgers. I'm getting ready to watch a DVD, so a show that I happen to like very much, Tour of Duty. I don't know if you remember that one, but it was awesome.
I haven't seen that one, no.
Awesome show, very good show. Anyway, so all of a sudden I hear this noise on the porch, and these guys are banging on the door. And I look out the window, and it's this road crew. I mean, they've got their vests on, their hats and stuff, and they're flustered. I mean, I can see something's going on. First thing that hits my mind, these guys must be working in the area, obviously, and they must have got hurt. Somebody's hurt. That's what I'm thinking. You know, they're going to need some kind of, you know, so I open the door, and these guys are pissed off. And they're like, you think that's funny, don't you? And all this. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on? They said that back just off of my property in the deep woods behind this old barn, which was one of those areas that I just never went. I just didn't go there. But in that area, they said that a guy in a black gorilla costume was throwing rocks at him. And the first thing that hit my mind is, I don't have time for this crap, you know?
Yeah.
But then about that same instant, it clicked. And I thought, no. And, you know, yeah, and these guys were furious. And they said that whoever it was just kept flinging rocks at them. They were yelling at them, whatever, and they would see movement and then a rock. And so they just started throwing rocks back, you know. But they said that they saw this guy in a black gorilla costume run out of the woods towards my house. So they were thinking it was me. But when they were looking at me, their expression went from anger to confusion. Because I'm 6'1", not 7 foot. And the other thing was, it was warm that day, and I wasn't sweating. And obviously I would be if I was in some goofy monkey suit or something. And then I let them in. I was like, look, fellas, come on in here and look. I will show you. Y'all can look around all you want. I don't have no gorilla suit. I don't have anything like that. I don't know what you're talking about. And they could see I've been cooking. I've got stuff set up. I'm getting ready to have something to eat. And they said, you know, hey, man, sorry we bothered you, but something's going on. You got some weird neighbors around here, whatever. And they were really freaked out. They the guy that was the leader of the work crew, he was a tall, blonde guy. And he got on his cell phone, and I looked at him and shook my head. And he's like, what? And I said, you ain't going to get reception out here. I didn't have no cell phone. At the house, there was no cable. There's no nothing like that. And there was also no street lights out there. I just got used to it. I mean, that's how it was. So they actually packed it up and they left. It really freaked them out. And it bothered me. I sat there on the couch for probably 2 hours, just kind of numb. Because it's an escalation. Because at this point in time, traffic in that area had picked up quite a bit. You know, in 95, 96, you might see one car every 3 to 5 hours. Now, it's about every 30 minutes. And at night, still pretty steady like that. So, it's an escalation. The more people encroach, they got nowhere else to go.
I think as humans, we always try and find answers, even though, I think those guys must have known it wasn't a guy in a monkey suit. But what else makes sense? You know, when you got what appears to be a gorilla throwing rocks at you, that's fascinating that they came back. Did they ever go into any descriptions as far as what they saw? Was it more or less just a black monkey-looking thing?
They just, and it was apparently at a distance. They said that. It, to them, it looked like just, well, what they described, you remember the Memorial Day footage?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what they described to me. And I didn't think anything about it until 2 years ago when I happened to see that footage on Facebook, or not Facebook, but YouTube. But that basically that kind of, you know, just running across, you know, but they said it was going straight towards my house. So I had to process that, and I thought to myself, you know, maybe it's time to go find somewhere else to live. So, you know, of course, but I've got my job, and, you know, it's not just easy to just uproot and go. But eventually I did, and I didn't care where I had to live. I wasn't staying in that house not one more night. That happened a few months later. It was, I believe, end of summer, if I remember right. And just, you know, bear with me on this one, because this one bothers me. But
yeah, take your time.
All right, so I had been out all day with friends and having fun and all that. I was at the house that night in the evening, and real dark outside. I don't think there was any moon that night, or I don't think so. It was real dark, but I didn't think nothing of it. And I was watching a movie and just eating my dinner. And I had been home probably an hour and a half, and just chilling, you know. And I needed to use the restroom. I got up, and the restroom was at the other end of the house. It was a two bedroom house, and the master bedroom I stayed in was down there, and then right next to it, you know, across the hall was the other bedroom I just used for storage. And there was one bathroom in the house, and I was back there. I came back out and came down the hall, and there was where I had the TV was up against one wall, and then there's a fireplace, and then there's a window. And of course, out there, I mean, it's when your lights are on inside, everything outside is black. And in the reflection of the glass there, I could see a face. And it was just the outline of the face, because it was really close to the glass. And I could see the teeth where the lips were pulled back, and that flat nose, and the sockets just looked black. But the way the light was reflecting, I could see like the pupils looked white or whatever in the way the reflection. And the eyes were darting around just this way and that. And then it stopped and looked straight on for a moment. And then moved straight over to where I was. And I saw it blink. And I was just frozen, man. And then right about that moment, it exhaled. And when it did, the glass went, the moisture, you know, hit like, the glass.
Like fogged up on it?
Exactly. And it shot straight out, and it covered the whole bottom part of that window. And it was like I could hear it. And you want to talk about people say jumping out of their skin? It's like my spine jumped out of my body. And right then, its face just backed away. And I heard on that porch, it was a wooden porch, and I heard this loud footsteps, just boom, 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 and it was off the porch. It was like a boom, 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 and it's just off. And then back there where the bedrooms are, I heard distinctly a slap on the glass. And before I could even think, a knee-jerk reaction, I went into my bedroom and got my AR-15 I had, and all I remember is popping the clip in. I pulled it back and snapped that. I loaded it, you know, and I remember my thumb hitting the safety off, and I kept the barrel down, and I moved, and I put my left shoulder against that wall in the hallway. That's the only cover I had. And there was, boom, another slap on the kitchen window, and then nothing. And my knees were hurting because everything in them was shaking. I mean, my whole body was, I was just shaking like a leaf. The face, when I saw it, it looked skeletal because all I could see was teeth, that part of the nose and the brow. And then the eyes looked black until I could see that there were eyes in there moving. It looked like a skeletal type face, but it was the size of a Rottweiler's head. And then when that thing exhaled like that, and it just, I could see it on the glass. And I mean, no, hell no. I couldn't take it no more. And I had the impression that this thing was trying to scare me to get me to come out and run through that carport, and I was lunch. That was going to be it. I think if I did not leave, and I sat there in that hallway up against that wall, I was down on my left knee for the longest time, and I finally just sat down, and I kept the rifle right there in my lap, and I didn't move. I stayed there all night, and the next morning, I was throwing stuff in the back of the truck. I was gone.
I don't blame you.
I mean, at some point, it's just got to give. And I really do feel like if I had not left when I did, me and you ain't talking right now. You're reading about me and missing 411. It wasn't worth it. I mean, I enjoyed the peace and quiet and all that and the freedom. but over time, no. It kept getting worse. Fortunately, I do know I have, that whole area has grown up now, and I have relatives, and then there's, you know, friends of the family who have houses and up and down that road. And there's even people that live up on that mountain now. Nobody has any problems. I have a cousin that lives up there, has a lot of dogs. No problem. They're all present and accounted for.
You think they left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they left. I think that their habitat was encroached on so much they had nowhere else to go. And the Appalachian Trail is very close to there. So from there, they can go north or south.
I really appreciate you coming on. And the fact that you haven't told anyone in 20 years, and it's probably one of the more fascinating encounters I've heard. What I find really interesting is the fact that you felt like it wanted you to come out. Because at the guys at the siege of Honabia, they described that same feeling. They felt like it was constantly, and they would do weird things like come up to the window and growl to try and get you to step outside. Or there was one in particular that would always come up and try and do something to try and get you outside. And that's fascinating that you felt like, you know, obviously I would imagine you felt a little bit like that deer. Here's one on one side of the house. Here's this thing in front of this window. And now either the other one walked off. There's at least two, if not three.
Right. Exactly. And I'm a troubleshooter type of person. I like to, you know, and so what do you do? Well, put yourself in its spot. What would you do? You want somebody to come out, you taunt them, you get them, you know, I mean, I think it was looking for me through that window. Maybe it could have been watching me for, I don't even want to think about that, but it was definitely looking for me. It's just weird, man, the way that the light was hitting the glass and I could see its little eye, it's darting around, and then that stopped. It's like it was focusing. And then they moved straight over to the left, looked right at me. And a moment later, maybe a second or two, the air hit that window and it backed up. And I will tell you this, my neck, shoulders, and the back of my head were, it was like I had had a whiplash or something. It hurt so bad for days after that.
Absolutely petrified me. I've never been that scared in my life. And, you know, it was a lot of my reason for coming out with this is, you know, really for information for folks out there that have seen these things or dealt with it. You know, Tracy in Alabama, that was on the side of the road, broke down with his van. He was a delivery guy, and, you know, he opened the door, was taking a whiz, and boom, they're right there all over him, and he didn't even know. And what he described dead on is exactly what these things, that's what I saw, what these things look like, them and us.
Yeah, I've had a lot of witnesses say that. They'll say the nose is different from the original them and us. It's more of a flat human nose, but they say that little details, but for the most part, that's what a lot of people say they saw, which is terrifying because that's nothing like Patty. You know what I mean?
No. Now, I will say the one that got up and walked away, it moved like Patty. I've seen that video, and it the posture was the same. The arms swinging like a pendulum like that, and his arms were long, like the hands were right about at the knee. And he casually walked away like, I mean, he wasn't afraid, that's for sure. I know I was.
Yeah, and you're right, it was escalating. I mean, they really hadn't come up to the home for the most part. I mean, that you knew of anyway, obviously.
Not that I knew of.
Yeah, and to come up directly like that. You know, you look at intentions. I mean, they're primates, we're primates. We both have two arms, two legs, a torso, and a head. And you think of intentions. What is the intention on coming up like that? You know what I mean? And
Taking risk.
Huge risk, yeah.
Taking risk.
And it does make me think maybe your mom was feeding them. Maybe they were trying to find out where she went or who knows. You know, it's...
Right.
And I wonder, too, you know, you had mentioned there was areas of the property you didn't go. Why didn't you go to those places? Because that was before you had actually seen anything.
Gut feeling. It's the first thing that comes to my mind. It was creepy. Now, the barn area down there, it was covered up with a lot of foliage and whatnot. And I never messed with it. I never went down there. It was like... It felt like if you're stepping in somebody else's house and you just don't belong there.
Yeah. Kind of that all eyes are on you type of feeling.
Oh yeah. And I got used to that feeling. I felt like I was being watched all the time, but I got used to that. I mean, I figured that I'm in that house by myself on 140 acres. Yeah. I just felt like it's my own mind, you know, playing with me, whatever. I knew there's a lot of coyotes and all kinds of stuff around there. Never had any trouble from them. The only thing I had issues with were these things. But it was escalation. It was getting worse. I got out of there and, you know, I'm sure that they moved on, but, these things they're more common. They're more out there than people realize. This is for anybody. You're driving down the interstate. It's four lanes or six lanes, whatever it is. You're just driving along. Let me ask you this. What is on either side of the interstate? Woods, forest. Do we look in there while we're driving by? No.
Yeah, you're right. I tend to agree with you. I think that their population is growing, and I think more and more people are running into them. I wanted to ask you, though, what do you think Sasquatch is? If someone were to ask you, Kevin, what would you say to them?
I would say one of several possibilities, either a hominid from prehistoric times that we think was extinct or that we never discovered, because the fossil record is really pretty limited. I mean, there's a pretty good tree there, but we're still missing a lot of branches on
that. I agree, yeah.
So there's that. Because as I mentioned before, orangutans and chimps and all them, they're not stupid. But these things, I'm certain, are smarter than them. They're not quite as technical as us, but they're not stupid.
And I think that they stay in small groups and they stay hidden, and that's how they survive. And I think they stay hidden more from other animals that they are preying on than us. But as to what they are, they're either some type of hominid because they do walk upright. They go on all fours when they need to, but I think commonly they walk upright just like we do. They could be a type of primate that just hasn't been discovered yet because, like I said, they're not stupid. They want to stay away from us. They're at least smart enough to do that. Because, you know, I think if it ever came out, if somebody dragged one of these out of the woods on live TV, every hunter in the country in Canada would be all up in the woods digging them out. I think that would be a very bad thing for both, because these things are not something to play around with. They're not friendly. my advice, stay away from them. And there's a lot of folks that wish they could see one. No, you don't. No, you don't. And I think, Wes, you can attest to that, too.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's not positive seeing one. I mean,
I wish I hadn't.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with you. If I could go back in time, I would have never had my encounter.
Right.
Ever.
Bingo. But it was hearing about the missing 411 stuff. Some of those cases are just really bizarre, and who knows? You know, but some of them, you hear the facts of it, and I think it's blatantly obvious. And my heart goes out to the families for some of those folks. But I think that it's probably happening more than we realize.
No doubt.
In the national parks and whatnot. You walk into their backyard, you're not armed, you're by yourself, you're taking a huge risk, and it's not worth it. Yeah, when I go hunting and fishing and whatnot now, I'm heavily armed and everybody else that's with me is too. I don't go by myself anymore.
It's good advice. I wish more people would take that advice. You know, it's, you know, don't, because these things are out there, and it's, I guess for some people you have to see it to believe it. And I completely get that. Yeah. But when you see it, it's hard to believe it, even for yourself, you know, the way you talk about it.
I knew nothing about these things. I didn't even know what to call them. I just called it a giant chimp because that's what it looked like. I knew nothing about this Bigfoot or whatever. I think the only exposure I had was Leonard Nimoy's In Search Of when I was a little kid. And I mean, that's something on TV, man. You forget about that. You know, Native Americans talked about this stuff long time before the white man ever came over. You got to really think and just use common sense. And you don't have to believe in these things. Just be smart when you go in the woods. Be ready. Be smart.
Absolutely.
When we lost Dr. Bendernagel, it was that combined with the missing 411. And I thought, well, if nothing else, it's just the information people might need. You know, I went through this and I still deal with it every day. I buried it, and it is what it is. And I deal with it the best way I can. And I hope that maybe it can help somebody out there. Maybe somebody else is dealing with it too. Maybe they be on the next show. You just never know.
Well, I know it wasn't easy for you coming on, and I know you really haven't told anyone. And I really do appreciate you taking the time to come on and share the encounter. I really enjoyed talking with you, Kevin.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. And I hope that it helps somebody.
I hope it does, too. Thank you again. And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. If you get a chance, check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you're going to the International Bigfoot Conference in September out here in Washington, swing by and say hi. I'll be back on Sunday for the members. Until next time, everyone.